why this video is all about creating your thriving mama mode plan. We've covered so much into this course up to this point. How are you feeling hearing all of the information and suggestions about self-care, taking care of your body, your mind, your feelings, nurturing your relationships and soul, and understanding all about stress and coping? Are you feeling inspired, excited, maybe a little overwhelmed, maybe a combination of many things? I want you to know you're not alone. Committing to taking care of yourself from a psychologist's perspective does shift the way you think about and show up in your daily life. Making change can feel challenging at times, but I want you to know you can do this. I also want you to remember shifting into thriving mama mode is a process. And self-care, remember, is not a one-time event. It's also a process. Starting a plan to thrive isn't about perfection or never having stress. It's listening to what you need to do to be aware of what you need, making the commitment to bring in activities and behaviors that help you thrive and enjoy the life that you've created. Your roadmap to thriving in motherhood starts with a plan, and that is what this video is all about. There are no shortcuts to thriving, which is why it's essential for you to take the time and write down your goals to thrive. You may have had the thought, I'll just think about my goals. That will help me thrive in motherhood. Thinking about something, while important, it's a great start, but writing a goal moves the thought into action. Here's why. Creating a plan to thrive takes an abstract desire and turns it into a concrete statement, seeing it on paper, physical evidence of your willingness to thrive. Taking care of yourself doesn't require large amounts of time or a lot of money. Creating a plan to thrive in motherhood requires asking yourself every day, what is the one self-care act of love I can do for myself? Maybe if you're short on time, support, and resources, it can be as simple but as powerful as talking to yourself kindly, as you would to your child or anyone else. Thriving in motherhood is a commitment to self-care, a willingness to be creative finding time for self-care, a desire to honestly look at the strengths you have and the areas that need improvement with suspended judgment that you may have towards yourself. Thriving is also having an understanding that thriving isn't about being perfect or never making a mistake. It's a journey of self-growth and the courage to take risks. We've reviewed the five areas of self-care: taking care of your body, taking care of your mind, taking care of your feelings and emotions, nurturing your relationships, and nurturing your soul. When it comes to creating a plan to thrive, there is no one size fits all. Depending on the demands in your life, whether you work outside the home, work from home, stay at home, or work part-time, one thing is true: we all have differences in our lives. And we also are in a different stage of raising a family. You may have a new baby at home with a toddler, or one child and work full-time with lots of travel. And you could be similar to me, having four children with a large age span. I have over 8 years between my youngest and my oldest daughters. Self-care for me with my daughters in school right now looks so different than my self-care plan 5 years ago when I had three children in school, one for half of the day, and a young toddler at home. This is why the key component to thriving is to know yourself. I want you to focus on what you need to feel healthy, happy, and thrive, to feel more joy, calm, and happiness in motherhood. When you take care of yourself and you're able to feel restored and mother from a place of intention instead of reaction. An important step in creating a plan to thrive is to look at where you spend your time. Some people call this a time audit. Over the years, I hear from many clients that they don't have enough time for self-care. Time is one of the most valuable commodities in motherhood. We always need more time, which is why reviewing how you spend your time is an important start. I want you to think about where your time goes in a day and a given week. Where could you be using your time differently? Are there activities or energy drains that you could change so you can get a little more time? Are you saying yes to others freely and putting yourself last? Could you ask for support from your sweetie to make self-care happen? Or do you feel guilty for asking for support or letting your sweetie know what you need? Remember in the video on nurturing relationships, one of the traits of a healthy relationship is giving one another support. Cooperating with each other to make self-care happen for each of you is a healthy task for couples. Okay, let's shift for a moment and look at the energy drains or time drains we could be experiencing. And I want you to replace that time with self-care. Many of us, and I've been guilty of this as well, spend too much time on our phones. With twin teenagers in my house, I feel the pressure to be a good role model, setting a good example on how to have a healthy relationship with screen time. But I've noticed on the days when I'm so exhausted, I have little energy to do other than scroll on my phone. What helped me to monitor how much time I'm on my phone is to download an app and track the time I was on my phone. You may think you don't pick up or spend a lot of time on your phone, but did you know that while estimates vary, the average adult spends about 3.5 hours a day on their phone? Most of the time, it's on apps, and the average adult watches up to 5 hours of television a day. Of course, some of this is going to be productive, like texting, communicating, and researching some things. But in all honesty, often we go mindlessly on our phones or the screen when we're bored or don't know what else to do with our time. The point I'm making is this: if you don't have time for self-care, I bet you only think you don't. As an experiment, track the amount of time you spend on your phone or the screen or the television and reduce it by a certain amount and reallocate that time for self-care. And if you truly have no time to add in self-care in small chunks of time, what you can do is practice self-care by getting enough sleep, staying hydrated, and being sure to eat nutritious food. We all have to sleep, eat, and hydrate, and sometimes exercise. If you do all these things, you're creating a solid foundation of self-care. And remember, being intentional to use kind self-talk costs no time or money, and it is another way to practice self-care. There are some things we can't change because of the phase of life we're in or our children are in, but give your schedule a solid review. I'm sure you can find at least 15 to 30 minutes a day to practice self-care. Maybe you've been volunteering and spreading yourself too thin with others, saying yes when you really don't want to. Learn to use your voice and show up for the activities you want to do to create more self-care time. If prepping dinner is taking a large time, simplify dinner by cooking easy go-to meals like breakfast for dinner or use the crock pot to add in extra time. If you feel like you're not spending enough quality time with your kids, then you may want to look at the ways you are saying yes to other activities or obligations that you don't really want to do. The overall goal here is to use time efficiently when and where you can. Maybe your schedule is so packed from morning to evening that you have little room to add other tasks in, but you stay up later than everyone else because the house is so nice and quiet, but it's not really an intentional use of time. It's scrolling on social media, watching shows. And maybe the best thing you can do is look at the time at the end of the day and commit to using half that time to bring in some self-care and set a bedtime schedule and stick to it. I don't always have time for large chunks of self-care, but what I do is wake up earlier than my children, and I start my day with the self-care activity of yoga, meditation, or writing, and I always have a cup of coffee before the chaos starts. And I've built in my schedule one night a week when I swim that works around my family's activities. My go-to strategy is to take care of myself by getting enough sleep, sticking to a bedtime schedule, planning my meals, staying hydrated, and even during super busy times when there's not a lot of extra time for self-care, I make sure I do these things. If you're similar to the clients I support, there is some time in your schedule. You just have to be creative, intentional, flexible to find the time and make the shifts in what you've done and what you can do to make your goals a reality. As you create a plan to thrive, it is important to let go of comparing yourself to what other moms may be doing. Comparison is going to leave you feeling frustrated, jealous, and take away your motivation. Comparing yourself to what other moms do is having a mindset of lack. It's about limited resources and a scarcity of those resources. Instead of focusing on comparison, I want you to be inspired by what other moms do. When we are inspired, we feel encouraged. We have a sense of abundance that we can create goals and dreams in our life that we see other people creating. Instead of focusing on what you don't have, shift and focus on what you want to create within your life. And remember, thriving is something abundantly available to all of us. And while it may look different in our lives, each mom can create a thriving mama mode. If you want to flourish and thrive, there are no shortcuts. You have to take care of yourself. The way you do this is to create a plan. Creating a plan to thrive is going to take some time, and I want you to be able to create a space to intentionally reflect on where you'd like to start. The exercises in the workbook are designed to bring all of the information together and streamline a plan for you to thrive. Take your time, be intentional with your goals, and remember, you are on a journey. There is no one right way. Just remember to keep moving forward. After you complete your plan to thrive, you don't want to miss the final two segments, how to overcome obstacles and manage setbacks. But up first is the second video for creating a thriving mama mode plan, where I walk you through some of the ways to bring the goals you've created throughout the course in the workbook and bring those to life to create your thriving mama mode.